Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Lord of the Rings AMA podcast. My name is Matthias Austin, and on this podcast, I invite you to ask me anything about Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, or anything related to the greater legendarium of J.R.R. Tolkien, and I will do my best to give you as in-depth an answer as I can. And if the beginning of the show sounded a little bit different today, it's because we have music. It was composed by Michael McBride, an extremely talented musician, conductor, composer, music director. He does it all. And you can find all of the information about him and any upcoming performances he has on his website, therealmcbride.com. And a link to that is in the show notes. Now, before I begin the AMA, if you haven't listened to last week's episode about the different kinds of elves, I would strongly suggest you go back and listen to it. It's going to give you a lot of needed background information where I talk about Noldoran elves and Sindarin elves and Sylvan elves. So pause this episode now and give it a listen. I will wait. Okay, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed last week's show. Now let's dive in to this week's question from Abby in Washington. Abby asks, when the elves come to Middle-earth, how do they split up and where do they live? Is there a hierarchical reason why some go to Lothlorien, some to Eregion, and some to Rivendell? Thank you, Abby, for that question. Now I totally understand why Abby is asking this, because when you look at a map of Middle-earth in The Lord of the Rings, the elves seem very scattered compared to humans. The kingdoms of Rohan and Gondor are connected, and they lead directly into Nir-Harad, Far-Harad, Khand, beyond that to the land of the Easterlings, which wraps all the way up through Rohirrim and connects to the Long Lake and Lake Town and the people of Dale. So all the humans, they're all kind of connected. They make sense. It's very clear that humans are everywhere in more or less organized and interconnected nations. Now compare that to the elves. You have some west of the Shire, you have some in Rivendell or Lothlorien, there's the Woodland Realm in northern Mirkwood, and that's about it. Isolated little pockets of elves hundreds of miles away from one another. Now I'm going to put a big disclaimer right here. Very little of what I'm about to say is technically canon. See, the only books that Tolkien published were The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, which deal with the very end of the Third Age of Middle-earth. Right up until his death, Tolkien was working on The Silmarillion, which dealt primarily with the First Age of Middle-earth. And he finished quite a bit of it, and had detailed notes and fragments, and some contradicting themselves, but enough that was there that his son, Christopher, was able to edit it into a publishable book. And the first edition of The Silmarillion was released in 1977, 4 years after Tolkien's death, and 22 years after The Return of the King was published. But there were a lot of other notes and letters and essays that Tolkien wrote that didn't make the cut, either because they weren't complete or they directly contradicted a later, more complete writing. And Christopher Tolkien compiled all of those writings as well into the 10-volume series, The History of Middle-earth, and it is full of footnotes and explanations from Christopher as he tried to put his father's world into some kind of order. It was truly a Herculean task, and the fantasy world owes Christopher, who passed away in 2020, a huge debt of gratitude for the work he put in to bring us this world. But all of that is to say that when it comes to the Second Age of Middle-earth, the bridge that gets us from where all the elves were living in Beleriand in the First Age to where they lived during the events of Lord of the Rings, there's kind of a general consensus of events, but we honestly can't know for sure if this is where Tolkien would have actually landed had he been able to finish writing it. So with that major caveat out of the way, let's actually start answering the question. For the most part, it all starts in Lindon. At the very end of the First Age, when Beleriand was destroyed, all that remained of it was this small area formerly called Osiriand, which the Noldor called Lindon, by the Blue Mountains west of the Shire. And during the Second Age in Lindon, the remnant of the Beleriand elves, a mix of Noldor and Sindar, lived there under the last High King of the Noldor in Middle-earth, Gil-galad. Gil-galad was the great-great-grandson of Finwë, the first king of the Noldor, and he was the last male alive in that line in Middle-earth. Now, there was a different king of the Noldor in Valinor who had never gone back over to Middle-earth, so there's technically two kings. So Gil-galad is the High King of the Noldor in Middle-earth. And he created the Kingdom of Lindon in the relative peace that followed the downfall of Melkor, who Feanor called Morgoth, and that means the black foe or dark enemy. And after the theft of the Silmarils, the death of his father Finwë, he raises his fist to the sky and he renames Melkor Morgoth, and after that all the elves called him Morgoth for the rest of time. So I'm going to be using the name Morgoth as we go forward through a lot of this. And Sauron had fled far into the east to hide from the conquering army of the Valar. Almost all the Balrogs and dragons had been destroyed, and the orcish population had been decimated. The most powerful humans had been granted the island of Numenor as a gift for their assistance in the war against Morgoth. So, with all of that happening, the western part of Middle-earth was largely empty, and the elves had room to spread out. In Lindon, almost all of the big-deal elves, the names that we know, lived there together. So you had Gil-galad the High King, but with him was Círdan, a Sindar elf, Galadriel, who was a Noldoran elf, her husband Celeborn, also Sindar, Elrond, who was a mix of Noldar, Sindar, Vanyar, human, and Maiar, because his great-great-grandmother was Melian, the Maia, who married Thingol, High King of the Sindar elves in Beleriand. And they were all there at the same time. And then we immediately hit a roadblock in terms of what happens next, because, more specifically, why it happens. Because it depends on what version of Galadriel Tolkien was going to settle on. See, despite having started his first Middle-earth stories way back in World War I, Tolkien didn't come up with the character of Galadriel until he wrote The Lord of the Rings in the 40s and 50s. And then he had to go back and retcon her into all the stories he had already written about the First Age. And he kept changing his mind on what he wanted her motivations to be. In the book The Lord of the Rings, it seems like Galadriel isn't allowed to return to Valinor, which is why refusing the ring lets her pass the test, and she's able to go back into the West. And this seemingly changed as he worked her into his previously established legendarium. In some versions of her backstory, again, these are all written after Lord of the Rings was published. The backstory came after her character first showed up. She remained in Middle-earth because she wanted power and a kingdom of her own. And in others, it was because she felt she couldn't leave while Sauron was still around causing evil to exist. And so, whether she was stuck in Middle-earth because the Valar wouldn't let her come back, or because she wanted power for herself, or because she wanted to stand against Sauron, we don't know where Tolkien was eventually going to land on this. But in any event, it seems like Tolkien's plan was for Galadriel to leave Lindon after about 700 years with Celeborn and travel south to the area west of Khazad-dûm. And there she founded the elven area of Eregion, the last purely Noldoran realm in Middle-earth. And she did this either so she could have power and rule, and she wanted a place that was near Khazad-dûm and the Mithril mines of the dwarves so she could trade with them, or because she sensed Sauron was growing in power and wanted to ally herself with the dwarves because they were strong and they had this great resource that would be effective in the fight against Sauron. And with them went Celebrimbor. And Celebrimbor was the grandson of Feanor. He was a mighty craftsman, but he was not a king. Gil-galad was the king. And we're not going to get into exactly why, but essentially, something happens earlier on in their history that causes the royal line of the House of the Noldor to not go through Feanor, the firstborn son, but go through Feanor's half-brother, Fingolfin. Again, getting too complicated. We're not going to go into it. Suffice it to say, Celebrimbor is direct descendant of Feanor, but he's not the king. And with all of them comes all of the Noldor that are left in Middle-earth, and they create the city of Ost-in-Edhil. Now, there are some versions of this story where Celebrimbor is the leader from the very beginning. In other versions, He's not. It's unclear exactly who's in charge. Sometimes it's Celebrimbor, sometimes it's Galadriel. Meanwhile, Sauron's power has been growing, and he comes to Eregion in disguise, and he begins teaching Celebrimbor and the other smiths there the art of ring-making. And from the beginning, Galadriel did not trust Sauron, and he didn't trust her. And so, again, kind of not the story depends on who's in charge. If Celebrimbor was in charge from the beginning, Galadriel at this point, when Sauron shows up, just takes her daughter, Celebrion, and leaves. But if Galadriel was in charge, then Sauron starts influencing the minds of these, the secret society of smiths, and they usurp Galadriel's power. They drive her out of Eregion, and they put Celebrimbor in control. Not clear, but regardless, the effect of Sauron coming into Eregion is that Galadriel and her daughter leave through Khazad-dûm and journey to the east of the Misty Mountains. And in all of the stories as well, Celeborn stays behind because he hates dwarves and he refuses to even enter their land. And Celebrimbor then is the sole leader in Eregion. But on the other side of the Misty Mountains, there was already the Sylvan realm of Lorinand, which eventually would have its name changed to Lothlorien. Now, these were the Nandor elves who refused to go to Beleriand, and they were called the Sylvan elves. Over time, many Sindar elves had moved there and Sindarized the area, and the Sylvan elves took a Sindar king, Amdir, and they gave up their language of Sylvan and spoke Sindarin. And during her time there, Galadriel advised Amdir, and with her help, Lorinand, or Lothlorien, grew in strength. Meanwhile, on the other side of the mountains in Eregion, Celebrimbor was being swayed by Sauron until the Great Rings were created. And when Sauron put on the One Ring that would control all the other rings, Celebrimbor and all of the other elves who had these rings, their eyes were opened to Sauron's plot. And Celebrimbor said, "We need to hide these rings and not use them. Take them off. Don't let Sauron influence us." And Sauron at this, in a fury, brought an army to destroy Eregion. And they razed the city of Austin Edhill, and Celebrimbor was killed. And it would have been a complete massacre. But Gil-galad sent Elrond to lead an army from Lindon and aid them in this battle against Sauron. And many of the refugees of Austin Edhill managed to get to Elrond and flock to his banner. And they made their way back north, being pursued by Sauron's forces, until they found a place they could set up a strong point to defend themselves called Imladris, which we also call Rivendell. And it was a secure valley that could be well defended. Sauron then laid siege to Rivendell, and with another strong force, he went to attack Lindon. And he almost destroyed Gil-galad and his people. Except an army of Numenoreans, which are Aragorn's ancestors, they arrived at the request of Gil-galad. He had said, "Sauron is on the move. I need help. I have allies in Numenor." He sent a ship. "Please send help." The ships arrived with the Numenorean army at the last second, and they were able to defeat Sauron's forces and then free the besieged Elrond in Imladris. And Sauron's armies were completely destroyed, so he had to flee back to Mordor and begin to rebuild his forces. Now, Gil-galad thought it was wise to keep some elves near the Misty Mountains, but with Eregion in complete ruins, he decided he would just have Elrond stay in Imladris and operate out of there. So with the threat of Sauron temporarily gone, Galadriel left Lothlorien and lived in Rivendell, where Celeborn had escaped to. So he survived the fall of Eregion, and he escaped to Rivendell. And that's where Elrond met Galadriel's daughter, Celebrion, and they married. So Galadriel is Elrond's mother-in-law and Arwen's grandmother. Now, eventually, the Kingdom of Numenor was destroyed. That's a story for another day. And refugees created the kingdoms of Gondor and Arnor, And Arnor was sort of sandwiched in the land between Lindon in the west and Rivendell in the east. And Sauron's power continued to grow. Until we've come to, if you've seen the Lord of the Ring movies, the prologue, the very start, the War of the Last Alliance, men and elves combining together to fight Sauron, and they defeated him. But in that process, many of the elven leaders died. Gil-galad was killed by Sauron, and in the war, so many elves died that there weren't really enough Noldor left in Middle-earth for someone to really become the next High King of the Noldor. If anybody could have been that person, it would have been Elrond, but there really weren't many people left, so he just remained the title of Lord. He's just Lord Elrond, and there is no more king, High King of the Elves in Middle-earth. And many elves sailed to Valinor in the aftermath of the war, and so Lindon itself was reduced in numbers. In Lindon, Círdan the Shipwright ruled and built and maintained the ships that would carry any elves that wanted to back across the sea to Valinor. The king of Lothlorien, Amdir, also died in the War of the Last Alliance, and the rule of Lothlorien went to his son Amroth. And sometime during Amroth's reign, Galadriel and Celeborn, they left Rivendell and came back to Lothlorien. But there is no Amroth living in Lothlorien during the events of The Lord of the Rings. And that's because Amroth had fallen in love with an elf named Nimrodel. And she was a Sylvan elf. Remember, Amroth was a Sindar elf. And she loved him too, but she refused to marry him because she resented the fact that the elves from the west, the Sindar and the Noldor, had come in. She continued to speak Sylvan, even though everybody else was now speaking Sindar. She just resented the elves of the west coming in and destroying the Sylvan culture and bringing, as she thought, bringing all this war with them. So Amroth and Nimrodel never married, and they never had children. They just sort of loved each other distantly. Until the dwarves of Khazad-dûm awoke the Balrog, and Khazad-dûm was destroyed, and orcs started coming in and raiding the forest, and Nimrodel, who lived sort of a Sylvan life out in the forest, she fled into the woods, and Amroth went to go find her. And they found each other. And they said, Amroth said, I promise we will be together somewhere where there's peace. But there was no peace in Middle-earth, so they said, we have to leave for Valinor. So they decided to leave Middle-earth and make their way to the sea, down by in like the area south of the southern coast of Gondor. There's a bay there, and they were going to make their way on a ship from that bay back across the sea to Valinor. Except that things kind of went sideways for them. Tolkien never describes exactly what happened, but Amroth and Nimrodel were separated on their journey south. And so Amroth, he said, well, I know where she's going to be. We had made a plan. This is where we're going to meet. So he goes there, he gets a ship, and he and his people are on the ship, and they're just waiting for her to show up, and he's waiting, you know, staring anxiously at the shore. She's going to be here, she's going to be here. And then a massive storm comes out of nowhere, and it blows their ship far out to sea. And Amroth is so distraught, he doesn't want to leave without Nimrodel, that he leaps into the ocean, and he starts trying to swim back. And neither of them were ever seen again. There are reports that that Amroth's sailors saw him vainly struggling to swim while still wearing armor, and nobody had ever heard anything of Nimrodel from that point forward. And after this, Lothlorien had no king, and the elves there asked Galadriel and Celeborn to rule them as the Lord and Lady of Lothlorien. So we've got Lindon, we've covered Rivendell, the ruins of Eregion, and Lothlorien. So we have one more elven kingdom we need to talk about. And that is the woodland realm that we see in The Hobbit, in the north of Mirkwood, or it was Greenwood the Great up until Sauron came back as the necromancer, and it's a whole thing. Mirkwood is easier to say, so I'm just going to say Mirkwood. So in the north of Mirkwood, we see this other woodland realm. And this was founded by Orifer, who was the father of Thranduil, and Thranduil is the father of Legolas. So Legolas's grandfather Orifer founded the Woodland Realm. He was a Sindar elf, and it seems like he probably lived with King Thingol in Doriath. So he would have been a lord of some sort. We don't get a lot of details exactly of his lineage, but he would have been somebody high up in Doriath. And after the war that ended the First Age, he traveled east and he went past Lothlorien and he lived in southern Mirkwood among the Sylvan Elves there. And Tolkien in his writing said that he had no desire to ever leave Middle-earth, and he disliked the other elven kingdoms because he thought there were too many Noldor there. You know, you had Gil-galad and Galadriel and Celebrimbor and Elrond, all these Noldor elves, and he hated Noldor elves. So he said, I'm going to live with my Sylvan elves as their leader, and we'll live a Sylvan lifestyle here in southern Mirkwood. And as the power of Khazad-dûm grew, and the influence of Galadriel in Lothlorien, he moved, because he had been pretty close to Lothlorien, as there was a big Sylvan population there, as those other powers started growing, he moved his people further east, deeper into the heart of Mirkwood. Now, they did join the War of the Last Alliance with all the other elves, and Orifer led an entire Sylvan army. He was the only, other than him and his household, it was the only all-Sylvan army. But they were almost nearly wiped out because they had inferior armor and weaponry compared to the other elves. And Orifer died in that war, and his son Thranduil became king. After about 1,000 years or so, after the Battle of the War of the Last Alliance, Sauron began to reemerge, and slowly his power expanded north. And Thranduil's capital city had been on the hill of Amon Lank in southern Mirkwood. And there, Sauron drove them out, and that's where he built Dol Guldur, which is where he is the necromancer during the events of The Hobbit. And so Thranduil led his people further north, away from this power of Sauron, into the extreme northeast of Mirkwood, which is where they were during the event of The Hobbits. And so that's how the Elven kingdoms ended up where they were, and why they were all separated. Lindon was separated by the Kingdom of Arnor because their numbers were depleted after the War of the Last Alliance. Rivendell was separated because that was the last refuge for the elves after the fall of Eregion. The land of Eregion was destroyed, which is why there were no other major elven settlements west of the Misty Mountains. Lothlorien had been there since the Nandor turned aside from the rest of the Teleris in the First Age, and the power of Galadriel and her Ring of Power kept it safe. And the woodland realm of Thranduil's Sylvan elves just kept moving further and further away as more powerful forces kept coming in. And as for Abby's question about the hierarchies of the elven societies, I would say that probably the hierarchy for elves is the same as it always was. Those who had been to Valinor are the highest in status. So Vanyar elves who went to Valinor and never came back, there would be, in elven society, the highest of the high. The Noldor and elves who came back, they would have very high status. And the most Noldor at the time of the Lord of the Rings probably lived in Rivendell. So Rivendell would probably be the high status place to live. That'd be your New York, your Paris, your London, right? But I do think Rivendell would be more accessible for non-elves than any other elven realm, because Elrond has such a mixed lineage. He's all these different mixes of elves and humans and Maiar. And so, you know, when the hobbits go to Rivendell, they say, oh, this is so peaceful, this is so calming. Bilbo lives there in his sort of retirement home sort of atmosphere. But compare that to what I would say is the next hierarchical society, and that would be Lothlorien. Now, Lothlorien, yes, it has Sindar elves and Sylvan elves, but it's led by Galadriel, and she's not just a Noldor elf. She is, like, one of the top ones. She was born in Valinor. And so when the Fellowship is in Lothlorien, they feel weird there the whole time. Something doesn't seem right, and they can't keep track of time, because it's like living on the moon, almost. It's just a totally different world. But it's led by, and this is because it's led by a Noldor, powerful Noldor elf of Galadriel. So that's probably like those two, Rivendell and Lothlorien, depending on what you're looking for and where you want to live, those are going to be the two high status civilizations. Lindon, what's left of Lindon, doesn't have Noldor there. So they're next up on the rung. They're led by Círdan, who's a Sindar. There's Sindar elves there, but it's not going to be as big of a deal to live there as it would be in Rivendell or Lothlorien. And then way out in the east, you have the Woodland Realm. And that's primarily Sylvan. So that's like, that'd be like your backwater, like almost your redneck elves. Legolas is like, I mean, you know, in the movies, all the elves speak with like a British accent, and they're all so fancy, and they have the lustrous hair flowing down their back. But they would be, in comparison to Rivendell and Lothlorien and Lindon, I mean, they're the ones who go out like cow tipping, which, no disrespect, like, if you go out cow tipping, cool, have fun. Maybe not the nicest thing for the cows, but it's they're probably status wise the bottom of the elven totem pole. So there you go, Abby. I hope that answered your question about why elves live where they do. And if you, like Abby, would like to submit a question, you can email it to lotramapod@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to answer it. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, tell a friend, all the stuff that you need to do to get the word out about the show. And you can follow me on Instagram and Threads. Yes, I made a Threads account. I don't know if anybody uses Threads, but when you make an Instagram account, you can make a Threads account too, so I did. I promise I'm actually going to start posting things there at some point, and there are links in the show notes for all of that. Thank you again to Michael for our music, and Lauren for our artwork, and that's all for this week. Iluvatar willing, I'll be back next week. See you then.